September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Prof McGaw feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, premieres September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's opening act after show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's opening act after show.
Yes, yes, y'all. We are back. Bing is for doing, and welcome to a special edition of the E! Opening Act After Show here on AfterBuzzTV.com. Holla! Jason J. Carter on the mic. Hello, everybody.
Hello. I'm Jennifer Golden.
I am Mark E. Allen.
And I am Gabrielle Loren.
And we are here this morning holding it down for E! We have tons of great in-studio guests, some royalty here in my eyes. On the couch today, Nick Cooper, vocal and life coach. And, I mean, you've crafted some of the most amazing voices in the industry. And co-executive producer of the show, Mr. Greg Christensen. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So good to see you guys today. E! Opening Act, one of the breakout hit reality shows of this summer. Great television. Every Monday, us four were hooked. Sharing the stories, loving the music, loving everything. And here you guys are. Let's gab about it.
Talk to me, man. Talk to me. Let's gab.
I'm so excited to be here.
Wow. Let's gab.
Okay, so reality television is abundant these days for years. And it's really hard to find shows that really stand out from the rest of the pack. Greg, you being co-executive producer of the show, where did this idea come from? Was it just someone woke up one day and said, hey, let's do a show about unsigned talent singers?
I want to thank you guys first, because I listen to you every week and you are so supportive of Opening Act, and we truly appreciate it.
We love listening to you guys.
You're fantastic. And if you guys are just listening to them on the podcast, which I'd been doing, you need to look at them. These are four of the hottest people.
Absolutely.
This
beautiful.
Is a sexy studio.
He just
so
met us.
Yeah, the lights.
Just being nice.
There's a lot of glam in this place, right?
If you're just listening, you gotta check them out. A guy by the name of Steve Schnurr, who's a fantastic individual, created the show. And he went to Nigel with the idea, and that's where it was born.
Gotcha. And Nick, like I said, you being a vocal coach, how did they bring you into the fold?
You know what? I actually went to Hong Kong with Steve Schnurr about 2 years ago. And when we landed, we went in, met this group. He asked me my thoughts about the group. I was really honest, and I think that little honest statement hooked him enough for me to be a part of the show.
Gotcha.
No, I was going to say, as far as even further, going into being a vocal coach, like, were you ever an artist, or was it always that you understood the voice and you wanted to make people better?
It's a great question. You know, and I want to echo what Greg said. First off, I want to thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming.
It means so much to be able to, number one, be a part of this, but more important to just kind of share our love. So thanks, y'all.
No problem.
Thank you. I was an artist, and still am, as a matter of fact. I actually started singing when I was two. By 16, I was actually on Broadway, and then did a lot of other things in between. Sang on American Idol backgrounds, and sang for Kelly Clarkson and a bunch of other people in between. But the thing that I love most is helping to develop talent. Yeah, I tend to believe that a lot of people do live vicariously through their clients, but that's not my deal. My deal is just to kind of bring out the best in everyone that I meet and have fun in the process.
Do you believe you can train anyone to be a singer?
Well, I think
she may be asking specifically. Yeah.
I was like, is this a setup or a setup?
No, I'm actually. I've always wondered that. About it. Let's see what you can do with her.
We got time.
I've always wondered that because a lot of people say you can always train, but at the same time, you see American Idol Worst Auditions, and you think to yourself, could these people ever be transformed?
Untrainable. He'll make you cry first.
You'll get to the bottom of what's stopping you.
To answer your question, I think that everyone has the ability to sing. How well you sound is a whole different piece.
Word.
Singing to me is almost like shopping. You go into a store. You like shoes, right?
Of course.
If you go into a store, everyone looks at a pair of shoes, but it's up to you to find the one that fits.
Nick, watching you on the show, I loved how your formula of bringing talent out in people. How did you develop that? Because it seems like you connect with every talent differently. Like, all the different stories, you connected with each artist differently and helped them bring out the best in them and their voice and their talent and their overall presence. How did you develop that for yourself, and how has that helped you as an artist?
It's a great question, man. I don't believe that anyone can necessarily develop anything. I kind of subscribe to Bruce Lee. I believe in the art of no way is way. So when someone comes into the studio with me, I kind of look at their thumbprint. My overall goal is to see who they are first. Because what I found is that everyone has like a really kind of thin thread of continuity woven through all of them. All of them are afraid of something. So the first thing we want to do is get down to the bottom of what they're afraid of. The second thing we want to do is we want to find out what hurdle they're trying to overcome. And then the third thing, we're trying to figure out where they're trying to go.
Okay.
So the moment I figure that out, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to sing rock, pop, gospel, jazz, or, you know, be on Buzz TV after Buzz. So to answer your question, it just kind of came about. Yeah.
But Nick works with them extensively. You only see a 4 or 5 minute excerpt on the show, but he works with them for multiple hours at a time in multiple sessions.
Right.
So you can't, you know, watching breathing exercises for 3 hours wouldn't do it. But everybody, I made the joke, he makes them cry. I mean, there's so much more to his voice lesson than just crying.
Exactly.
I have a question for you, actually, about the life coaching and vocal coaching. Because,
of course.
I mean, I'm sure that's not necessarily a typical thing for vocal coaches to do, is to also, like, have you sit on a couch and tell you about their life. But how did that come about for you?
You know what? I'll even kind of digress back to his question and answering your question. I had a vocal coach that was amazing. And I started when I was 13 coaching with him. I stopped when I was 23.
Wow.
And he told me before he died, he said, you know what, Nick, you'll never know what I taught you until I'm no longer here. And he died literally a month after I arrived in L.A. That next week, I went to a picnic. Someone came up to me and asked me if he could train with me. I ended up just kind of messing up so much that I figured out that the only thing that really works, it's really not doing the mum, 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 and me, me, me. It's really helping to identify with the person. So I found that once I identified with the person and they believed in me and they knew that I cared about them, they'd be open for whatever I shared with them.
Right.
So
there's that wall. Because people, talent, as you know, artists, and from seeing on the show, they're very vulnerable. They're very fragile. Their egos are so tender. And for them to actually let down their guard and let you in is a very powerful thing. And
it's trust.
Yeah, for sure. And you see the most raw, stripped down anything of everything of a person when they finally let you behind that velvet rope. And we saw that episode after episode, and that was one of the things that stood out from E-Opening Act, is because you can watch The Voice, you can watch Idol, and you can see all these stories about, I slept in my car for 29 days, or I have 4 kids, this is my one break, and that's all tear-jerking and all relatable, I guess, but on E-Opening Act, what was different is that it was relatable and believable in the sense that I'm, for myself, you know, being told, you know, you're not this, you're not that, you're not good enough, and then having someone saying that it's okay to be you, it's okay to let your light shine. That to me was such an eye opening and powerful episode for me. Ask them, I was all emotional up in here. I was like, holding back tears because I identify with that. So that's one of the beautiful things about Opening Act that I appreciate, and thank you for that, and thank you for being so genuine and authentic. Because you see a lot of shows where the vocal coaches aren't that; they're just hired talent. This is your role. This is what you do. This is a script. Read this teleprompter. Done day. You know.
You know what's interesting? I think a lot of vocal coaches. And I don't say anything bad to anyone. I think a lot of vocal coaches want to make people into who they want them to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to make the person who they're supposed to be. You know, one of the greatest people said, if you see a person as they are, they'll just be that. But my job is to see someone as what they could potentially become.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And then push them to become that.
And so now, how much time did you actually spend with each artist for the show?
Greg?
It varied. Some needed more work than others, and some we had more time for.
Exactly. Some were like 2-3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And some were multiple sessions.
Exactly.
He had a save session with Rajiv, who was stressing out a little bit right before the performance.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys, if you recall, called Nick, and he literally hopped on the next flight and got to El Paso.
That's how you roll.
Yeah.
Having flown in from China.
I was also going to say, Greg, being a co-executive producer of the show, what kind of stuff were you into before? What shows were you attached to? Or is this?
I had a lifetime career at CNN. I did Larry King Live for 12 and a half years.
I was Larry King's
producers. And this is my first jump into reality TV.
Why this show?
It was the right show. This is such a feel-good show. It really is a fantasy dream show. Once we show up, you've won. It's like Publishers Clearing House. You know, we've selected you. You didn't know it was coming. And now we're going to take you back to L.A. We're going to groom you. We're going to get you ready. We're going to help you. And we're going to let you have the performance of your life. And I liked it because it was just so positive. There really was no negative to this show. There was no elimination. All the great things.
It's so funny you say that because, you know, when we first started watching the season and earlier in the summer, we're like, what's the payoffs? What's missing? Because we're so groomed and accustomed to, oh, you suck. You're going to be eliminated. You're not in the top 10. None of that was there. And so because we're so used to that being that type of reality show on a singing show, we're like, okay, well, is this show going to last?
Because you're used to one winner.
Yeah, there's no something to sink our teeth into. And we kept saying in the beginning of the after show that we hope as it amasses and grows for the summer, we'll get more and more and more. And it did. My question for you, Greg, is the panel. We were a little perplexed with the hybrid or the mix of people. You like Jason Derulo?
For the first 2 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, Martina McBride.
And that started out, like everything, we shot so much stuff for this series because we didn't know what we were going to want. We didn't know what we were going to use. And all these shoots, we shot like 80 hours for each episode and had to whittle it down to 40 minutes.
Right.
So that panel, a great panel with a lot of diverse talent, they literally spent, I guess Nick was on there, I think we spent like an hour and a half debating. So there were scores and scores of clips, but all of it had to get whittled down and edit to about 2 minutes. So you didn't get to see the whole process, but there was a lot of intense debate and a lot of clips that they looked at, not just two.
Yeah. Right.
We saw it come down to two,
but
they went through, again, scores before we got to that point.
So they're only involved in the beginning process of picking the talent?
Correct.
Okay.
Which I know is a criticism. You guys wanted to come
back. Yeah, we wanted them to maybe mentor you know, if somebody was singing country, then the country singer was part of that. Okay. Would that maybe be something for season two?
It may be. We take vigorous notes when we listen to AfterBuzz.
I didn't know. I like this.
Yeah. Because that was one of the things we talked about that we felt was missing from the show. Because overall, the show was edited well. There's a lot of bad reality TV with some blunt edits that are just atrocious. But this show was edited well. But we wanted to see more involvement with the artists. Because there's some superstar power up there. Martina McBride, Pete Wentz. I'm a huge Fall Out Boy fan. Jason Derulo. So, we want, you know, and then the different genres of music you were featuring would have been a perfect time to have those artists. But, you know, again, there will be a season two, so we look forward to seeing that in season two. Now, did you take any vocal lessons with Nick?
Nick
can I get your Beyonce?
No, Nick tried with me about, I don't know.
We did
about 4 or 5 times.
Actually, maybe we can have the debut on the show.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
There can be a little After Buzz
not
TV.
Happening.
Exclusive. After Buzz
right
exclusive.
Here. Exclusive.
Not happening.
Shall we, Greg?
No.
Me.
Funny.
I will say quickly, we were so lucky with the show, meeting people like Nick, and everybody associated with the show was quality plus. Every person on our staff and crew and everybody we brought in and all the talent that we found in Surprise, we got so lucky. You hear these shows that have these horror stories. We don't have it. We really don't. We had a blast every day. And to get up and your job is, let's find great talent. Let's give them a surprise. Let's give them a shot at fame and let's help them.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of embraced that energy. And we had so much fun every day.
And you guys have become a family now.
Very much.
Oh.
Yeah. I took Vaughn to China with me.
There you go.
That's also what's impressive is because each episode stands alone. The acts didn't have to come together. They didn't have to know each other, but they all found each other.
Right.
And they're friends now on Facebook and mm-hmm. Twitter, and they call and they text each other. And Tanner, who you talk to in a minute, has already recorded with Ariel, and he has plans to record with 24/7, and I'll let him tell you more about that. But it's just amazing that they've all found each other and have now we've all become this family. And I talk to almost all of them every week.
That's how you... Is that good?
Well, something that we've always wondered is what happens after the show. You know, every episode would end. We're like, now what's going to happen to that
next?
Person? But, you know, it's funny because we were at the Universal show and we saw them all hanging out together, all supporting each other, watching each other's performances, coming up to us, and they knew us. We were like, we're part of the family stuff.
Jono called me out. He was like, you went in on me on that after show, Carter. I was like, I'm so sorry. Thank you. It was for television. I had a question for you, though. The artists that they're being the opening act for, Gaga, Nicki Minaj, was it hard to facilitate them and cooperate with them to get them on the show? Because it seemed like some episodes
they were more involved in some.
Yeah.
They were. The concept is, the story is about the opening act. It's okay. Not about the headliner. It's not their show. We're following these people on their journey from anonymity to stardom, so to speak. So when we originally went to the headliners, we just said, hey, we've got the show. We want to make them your opening act. Are you interested? Pretty much we need, you know, 10 minutes of your stage and, you know, a minute or two of your time, and any other involvement you'd like to give is totally up to you. We're not asking for a huge commitment here. Mm-hmm. So it was up to the individual headliner how much they wanted to do, and some gave more than others.
For sure.
And we appreciated all of them doing it, and everybody was fantastic to us in the end. And it was a positive experience.
Touching on what you were saying earlier, Greg, about how everyone's a family and how that's when you know you have something good. Sometimes I worked on shows where no one gets along. There's so much dissension and so much separation and no one's like on the same page. But you know you have a good thing when everyone involved comes together and it's just organic. It flows. It's effortless. Some things take so much effort. Opening act, from like Jen said, we went to Universal City Walk to watch them all perform. You can just tell the energy is just emanating from the stage. Everyone is so happy to be there, and that's when you know you got a winner. You got a stone cold smash hit wonder, as Mariah Carey would say.
Thank you. We hope so.
Much, yeah.
It seemed a lot like, I mean, because there was no competition aspect, that the only struggle was the internal struggle with each person. So there was no one for them to dislike. It was just about them being better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I personally love a little bit of a kumbaya. It's just so nice to watch something that's positive.
Yeah, well, you had asked, you said there was no payoff, but I'm going to quote a Vaughn Smith song, and I know Vaughn is also coming on, but he has a song called The Journey is the Prize, and that really is the story with opening act.
Wonderful.
Chills.
Wonderful.
And yeah, we're going to get them in here in a minute, but just to touch on kind of what kind of stuff are you guys doing right now, Greg and Nick?
I'm waiting to find out about season 2, and in the meantime, I'm helping Nigel out with another project.
Please let us know when you find out.
We will.
And we'll announce it.
When we can.
And Nick, you said you just got back from China with Vaughn?
Just came back from China. I was actually the creative producer on a TV show in China called Up Junior. And I'll be going back. We just bought an option, my partner and I, on an American TV show that we're trying to take to China. And I am launching an online television network called Helium.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of content?
Actually, similar to what I do. It's almost TED. It's like TED. You familiar with TED?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like TED on steroids.
Wait, the bear? Ted the Bear?
No.
Ted Talks.
Oh, okay. I was like,
this guy.
Nick.
You're going to have to sing to me now. You're going to have to sing to me right now.
Yes.
Right now, you're exposed.
When
come on.
When you left, you lost a part of...
He was waiting for that. Warmed up all morning.
After Buzzers, if you're a fan of the E! Opening Act After Show and of E! Opening Act, go to iTunes, tell a friend, or rate us. We love to get feedback from you guys. Comment on our after shows. Talk to us. We're always available. After Buzz, iTunes, that's where you need to do it. You guys are exquisite.
Thank
outstanding. But one thing I want to talk to you about is Olivia, your host.
Uh-oh.
How does she come about?
That's
where was that audition?
That's a great question.
Where was that audition, Greg?
Olivia is a very well-known comedian in the UK.
Gotcha.
And she's a comedian.
She's a comedian, and she has very successful shows in the UK.
She is hilarious. She is hilarious.
And she demonstrated it throughout the show. The problem was, I shouldn't say problem, but the opening act had to be about the opening acts, and a lot of her comedy is so huge and over the top and fun that it started to overshadow some of the acts. So we had to pull her back a little bit, and it wasn't that she wasn't funny and that we didn't love her. It just the flow had to work and the tone,
Because I get that. I got that she was funny because she had that quirky kind of energy about her that it was like
very much bubbling under.
But because of the tone of the show and the overall aura of the show, she couldn't really be bust out with fart humor.
which she did. But if you Google her, she did. She's done a lot of hidden camera prank shows in the UK. Very funny stuff. Yeah,
she's hilarious.
Well, that must be why she got so close to the talent, because you could see that they were like BFFs, and we kind of missed the journey for that to happen. But I would assume it's because she's so disarming and funny.
Very much.
Yeah. Well, what we didn't know is we truly picked all these people from online. So we didn't know how big their personalities were going to be, and we didn't know what their backstories were going to be. And the original concept, Nigel, was all about talent. We weren't as concerned with story. We just wanted to pick people that were deserving. So we thought, in case somebody may be a little flat or maybe the personality isn't there, we thought if we had Olivia with a big personality, it could draw somebody out, or at least she could, carry things. We didn't end up needing that. Everybody ended up with a lot of good stories and drama.
Thank you for clearing that up, because we were like, is she just like a well-paid babysitter for these guys?
No, and she was there every step of the way and very supportive of everybody.
But she was very relatable, like girl next door, so that aspect was nice. Yeah.
She's a lot
of fun. That's her personality.
Yeah.
And she's cute. Super cute.
She seems sweet.
Very much so.
That's why we wanted to see more of her. We were like, what's your story? Tell us yours.
She was there. She's just so funny that it didn't always work tone-wise.
That makes sense, especially with people like...
in an emotional moment.
Right. And now, Greg, is there any rumors you want to squash now about production or anything that we might have commented on?
Absolutely.
I
had a checklist. No, you guys, interestingly enough, you got it pretty right most of the time. And when somebody would throw out a point like, oh, why didn't they get him a better dressing room?
I think, was that about the barn? I remember it was about the barn.
One of you would counter. Yeah, it was Tanner's show. One of them would counter. Well, that's the venue. That's the dressing room with the venue. And that was the case. So a lot of things were just out of our control. When we went to the venue, we're at their mercy and use their facilities. So one thing I will squash, just because I know Vaughn's on and he probably won't know to say this. Somebody said, oh, Vaughn was one of Nigel's secret weapons because he'd been on American Idol. Nigel did not do season 8 of American Idol. He left for a year. And that was the season Vaughn was on. So Nigel and Vaughn did not know each other, and Nigel did not know about Vaughn.
That's an exclusive.
He truly was picked from the internet, and once we found him and learned his story, we realized he had been on American Idol. But we liked the idea of a second chance. But he and Nigel had not crossed paths. So there was no secret weapon secret there. Whoever's conspiracy
that
theory
is
that was.
So amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for wow. He called us. So I was like, get it right. Hashtag truth.
And all the surprises were all...
The surprises were all legit. And that was so much fun to do, to be able to plan surprise parties for these kids. And we would go in a day or two early and scout things out and hide cameras. And they had no idea. In the few instances where we had to let somebody in on something, we needed an accomplice. Like, say, Ariel's episode. We had looked online. We knew she played at this coffee house. So we called the coffee house. But you don't know who you're going to get on the phone. Maybe it's her best friend. Maybe it's her aunt. Maybe it's her cousin. So we just called and said, hey, we're a TV show in L.A. We're interested in working with Ariel. We need to get her to your coffee house where we want to reveal the surprise to her. Will you call her and set up a meeting and get her down there? So when we did have to include people, which was rare, we didn't let them in on the surprise because we didn't know if they were going to leak it. So they knew something was up. Worst case scenario, somebody knew something was up but didn't know what it was. Mm. So everybody was genuinely, genuinely surprised. And that was a lot of fun. I cried at every surprise. I'm an easy crier.
Incredible.
But, to be there and we've seen them online. We've been looking at it. We've been planning it. And then suddenly they walk into the room and it's the first time you're seeing them in person. And then the surprise plays out, and they're just about to be on this incredible journey. And I was so lucky because I got to be there every step of the way, from the surprise to the performance to all the boot camp. I did a lot of hand-holding. Not that they needed it, but because I wanted to. I like holding hands.
Yes. You're good at that.
I wish we would have planned a surprise for the show. We could have had him cry on the show.
I know. It was so. Oh, yes. Yeah, somebody
it's
else said.
Too late, buddy.
Said, yeah, it can happen easy. Drop your pen and I'll cry. I always joke that some of the guys were teasing me, Gotham and so forth. They were teasing me about crying. I said, I'm just doing my Jono impression. I cry easy.
That was me. I was like, Jono cries like every other scene.
But he's such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
he's
so sweet.
So sweet. Oh, yeah. The other misconception, really fast, that I'll clear up is Tanner's episode. One of the ladies said it was in a screening room. They thought it was in a screening room.
The movie theater, yeah.
But
it was, and it's fine. No, it was.
I didn't say that. There's no record of that.
It was a real theater. He thought he was going to a real movie, but we had bought every seat in the theater, and the only other people in there were our crew and some extras. Right. Oh, here's a fun fact. You'll like this one. Sorry, Nick. I feel like I just commandeered everything. Ariel, we had already completed her episode. And she also lived in Dallas, where Tanner lives. So I invited Ariel to come to Tanner's surprise so she could see the surprise from the other side.
That is so amazing. So chills.
If you go back and look at that, yeah, it was so much fun to have her there because she had just gone through her whole experience. She's sitting in about the third row of the theater, and Tanner's a couple rows behind her. So just waiting for it to happen, knowing, and I'm sure reliving her own surprise in her
How
mind.
How fun. I want to be a fly on the wall.
This is such a magical show, and especially now that we're meeting you guys and talking to you and knowing the inner workings of it all, it's honestly beautiful.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for being here.
And thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course.
It really is real.
We need a season two.
We hope.
Greg Christensen, Nick Cooper, wow.
Wait, I want another hour. Let's keep going. Come on. Whenever you want.
Season 2, we'll have you guys on every week. Guest host every week.
You guys can call in anytime you want.
Anytime you want.
Okay, we love it.
We're calling in tomorrow.
I like that. Thank you so much, y'all.
No problem.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for your love and support. We appreciate it. And this extra episode. This is fantastic. A season wrap up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's like Wendy Williams ain't got nothing on our reunion shows. So AfterBuzz does it right, guys. Again, thank you so much for coming in.
Huge
fans of the opening act.
Thank you.
Tell our fans where they can find you guys on Twitter, online.
No, go ahead, Nick. I'm invisible. Go ahead.
Vocal Corner Twitter.
Gotcha.
And thevocalcornerstore.com.
Gotcha. And then you said your new television, Hunan TV?
Helium TV.
Helium TV.
Hunan TV?
Hunan is in
China. What is he, Chinese restaurant?
Sorry.
Hunan TV is Chinese.
Right, my bad.
Oh.
I just had visions
of Chinese restaurant.
Of Kung Pao chicken. I just had sesame chicken all in my head right now. Hunan. Guys, again, have a great day. Thank you for stopping by.
Wait, I just want to say, so you can still follow at Opening Act on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
We done.
Okay. There you go. Done.
Thank you so much, y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
After the break, we have more E! Opening Act talent on the couch. Don't go nowhere. Come back. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you so much.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. No, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
All right. We're switching guests right now. We're back on AfterBuzz TV for our opening act wrap-up show.
Getting a little emotional in the studio.
I know, Gabby. Yeah.
Sad. Our favorite after show ever.
It's going to be okay. We just said goodbye to Nick Cooper and Greg Christensen. And now we're bringing in some more talent. We got Vaughn Smith on the couch. Tanner Patrick's getting ready, too.
Can we get you guys a little closer?
Let's scoot close together, friends.
So we can see your beautiful
Drawn together.
Faces.
Yeah, check out this camera right here.
Oh, there's the camera. Oh, hey. So should we...
Find the camera.
there you go.
All right.
Okay, Vaughn Smith, Tanner Patrick on the AfterBuzz couch. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Wow, what a journey. E! Opening Act, Season 1. You guys are some of the breakout stars from this season. And, again, we've watched every episode, followed your journey, blown away by your immense talent. And here you guys are. Let's start. Mark, You're the man of the hour. Go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for coming in. Gabby and I got a chance to see Vaughn Smith perform last night. I would like to shake your hand before I say, my goodness, this guy was absolutely amazing. I mean, from what we got to see on the show, we already knew he was incredible. But just to see his performance with a band and being right there in the moment with you was just amazing. So
thank you.
Hats off to you, man.
Right, and I've said it time and time again on this show, most of the talent from opening act are better off writing their own music, I think, than taking it from the producers. I'm sorry to say it, but your stuff is incredible.
Thank you. I was saying
your range, you can either be hit on the radio or you can even create your own Broadway show.
Oh, wow.
That's what I was saying to him last night.
Yeah, I felt so like the one-man show.
I mean, one-man show.
The stuff that comes out of your mouth, I mean, it's like, where does that voice come from?
I mean this, I say this with love,
it's like freakishly, weirdly amazing. Because it's just like, you would not think, and again, with anyone that has talent, I call you talented people mutants because, you know, you don't know what power they have until they unleash it on the world, and then bam, it's just like you're blown away by it. Watching your episode, first of all, okay, you, Lady Gaga.
Right.
They save the best for last. I don't think so, but apparently for the show, that's what the whole idea was. And as far as Lady Gaga, you are one of the best. And I was like, okay, this dude's got to have something, I mean, amazing in order to be for Lady Gaga. And I was like, okay, I hope he just, you know, this isn't a boring story. And then when you sang, I was like, yep, I'm sold.
Yeah, the video with you behind the piano, I was like, hold on. What happened here?
In addition to that, your story, though, which we'll touch on a little bit later, was really touching for me and moving for me. So you're here in L.A. You're performing. What's going on in your world, Mr. Vaughn Smith?
Well, first of all, the show didn't quite portray this, but I live in L.A. And so
you do what?
I live in L.A.
You have the hair, so I figured.
Well, this is...
Is that a new development?
New.
Oh, it's a new development.
Yeah, I change all the time. I live in L.A. I've lived here. This cord is like...
I live in L.A. Cord.
I lived in L.A. for almost 2 years now, and I was actually flying home to visit my mom when they surprised me.
So is that why you were at the airport?
That's why I was at the airport in Kansas City.
Wow.
So they didn't explain that, so it kind of looked like...
We didn't know why you were at the airport, and then you had to leave the airport again.
Yeah. Because, you know, they saw that as an opportunity to say, oh, we can look at where he's from and his hometown and everything like that. So I understood. I had no clue, but, you know.
Now, was the whole idea for you to go home because you were filming this show?
No. They actually had talked to my family and figured out that I was coming home at that time.
Oh, so it was already planned.
It was already planned. Yeah, I actually was coming home already.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Oh, wow.
Interesting. Were you watching the show? Your show was... I wouldn't say controversial, but it was a little controversial with the whole Jehovah's Witnessing your mother. Watching it back now, are you a little, are you turned off by the way you were portrayed a little bit as far as like the family and the insight they gave us? Did you get any backlash from your community, from friends and family?
Actually, no. I mean, I think it was so true and so real. I mean, I the truth is the most powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it was great. My mom has gotten some hate mail, but she, you know, it's a growing experience for her too. You know, so it all works out. We're still positive, and we have a good relationship. So
it does seem that she is accepting it more now because she was at the concert last night. No.
No, she was. No,
oh, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, who you saw was that? Was that family?
No, was it what, the redhead woman?
No, blonde.
Well, blonde. Okay, blonde. Yeah, that was Kathy. That's the one I live with. She's my landlady.
Oh, we thought it was your mom.
Hi, Kathy.
The whole time we thought it was your mom. Oh,
it's okay,
my God.
She's like my L.A. mom.
Yeah, landlady.
That's adorable.
LA
I love that.
Mom. It's okay. I mean, it's okay, Vaughn. If you're into older women, that's fine.
But she is more accepting of the show and everything.
Well, my mom? Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, she's... Okay, in a nutshell, my mom's always been supportive to the mm-hmm. best of her ability. And she... Actually, in the beginning of it, when they first filmed the surprise and everything, she said she was going to go, and she wanted to go. But I think it just bothered her too much, and she was afraid that there would be issues with her congregation and things. And I even knew early on, even when they told me, you know, even when Nigel was like, you know, you need to ask her. Off camera, I said to Nigel, like, I don't want to ask her. I know she's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that. And I probably should say this. I even talked to her before that phone call
mm-hmm.
and actually said, okay, I'm going to ask you, and I know what you're going to say, but they're going to make me do it, so let's just do it. We did it. And I think it was just the exposure of the rejection is what made me emotional.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked. And that's why she asked me, are you crying? Because it was like, she's like, what do you do? Like, are you acting? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, I don't know why. It just hit me like that.
But I think one of the best parts about that episode is the fact that you were so real and you were telling your story, you know, and you still had the strength to continue with the performance and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so admirable that you can seriously
let that fuel the fire.
Well, thank you.
You know what I mean?
And I noticed when I watched the AfterBuzz episode, we talked about that episode, that you mentioned that some of you mentioned that you thought it might have done better without her being there, and that's very, very true.
Yeah.
Because not only, you know, not only with everything we already know, but like, just knowing what she would be going through, it would be too distracting for me.
For sure.
What was admirable about what your mom said, too, was that it wasn't about her. Your show was about you, so she took herself out of the equation.
Exactly.
It's not her drama. It's yours. Like, have your experience. And you got to have your sister.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that, though? Because our question during that was, when did your sister, you know, I guess, leave Jehovah's Witness, or is she still part of it?
No,
or?
So that's the thing. My sister is not a Jehovah's Witness, and that's what makes her and I so close, because when I was 15 and she was 16, we left together.
Oh, okay.
And we were homeschooled for high school, so during that period of time, all we had was each other, and it was very, you know, yeah, so that made us so close. We agree on all those beliefs and views, and so obviously, in this situation, that was the perfect thing, because, you know, we agree on everything.
Vaughn, watching the show, one thing I wanted to ask you is, because you said when you left early, when was the point where, I guess the question I'm trying to ask you is, when was the point that you finally decided, Vaughn, sit up a little bit. We can't see you on camera.
Sorry, we can't see you on camera.
Man.
I tried.
John, you're on TV,
damn it.
Lean
back, maybe even a little bit.
Lean back. When was the time that you discovered that you wanted to leave the congregation, and what were some of the emotions that you were going through? Because it's just like, I guess I can liken maybe leaving a congregation to maybe coming out or things of that nature. What was that like for you? Like, give us a really in-depth detail of the emotions you're feeling, because your story, like I said, was one of the most intense of the whole season. I mean, on so many different levels. It was a lot to watch sometimes, because with the mom and the family. How did you go through that and then come back from that and grow from that?
Well, me and my sister, like I said, we were homeschooled for high school, so all we had was each other. Literally, and you know, when you're raised a Jehovah's Witness, all your social life is only, your friends are only Jehovah's Witnesses. So even in public school, you don't participate in anything, and your friends are, you don't have friends. So,
wow.
I mean, you that's the thing, like, I try to have friends growing up. We try, but it's kind of frowned upon, so it's like, you don't really, it's difficult. So, yeah, I mean, growing up, when we had each other and we were homeschooled, we kind of discovered that we have all these, you know, you're in the world and you're curious, and we discovered that we had the same curiosities and beliefs, and we talked about how we really felt about it, and we were shocked, actually, that we could open up to each other and agree on this thing. And so we kind of together were like, we want to step out into the world and actually figure it out for ourselves.
Which is smart.
Because, you know, religion can be dogmatic. And so that's kind of how that happened. And it was very, very, very difficult. I think it was more difficult for my sister than it was for me.
Yeah.
You know, we were a support for each other. And difficult for my mom, too, because it's all she knows. And, you know, in her eyes, well, it won't go on forever, but you get it.
Vaughn, real quick, though. So would you say that, I would say, was it pain, maybe, not pain, but strife, or maybe just emotions that from that in your early life, did that fuel your creativity now as an adult and your music? And,
absolutely.
And how so?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have notebooks full of lyrics from when I'm 13 and 14 that just, I mean, I wonder if I'll pull them back out and use them at some point, yeah, that are all just angsty, like, you know. So, yeah, all of
Dear
that.
Dear Diary!
All of that fueled everything, yeah, wanting to live my own truth.
Yeah, live your own truth. Say it, Oprah Winfrey. Live your own truth. That's my hashtag for today. Live your own truth. Tanner Patrick, you were on the couch as well. He's like, oh, and what am I doing here? It's really early. Good morning to you, Tanner.
Good morning.
Tanner, opening act. I mean, Gabby, I know you are a huge Tanner Patrick fan.
Yeah, I honestly loved all of you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, Tanner, you're amazing. Oh,
thank you.
He has a huge following on the internet, right?
So. I mean, you're like the new Twilight. I mean, forget Edward and Bella. It's
Tanner
Patrick.
So true.
For you in the show, I mean, well, your story, you were health issues, diabetic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we were watching your episode, you seemed a little, I wouldn't say hesitant, but a little reserved, especially with the audition process, which, by the way, was always so weird to me, because they saw you sing online, and then they bring you to L.A., and then they grill you in front of them. It's just like, really? But I guess they needed it for show purposes. What was mainly some of the most memorable parts of opening act that may have been the hardest parts for you?
There were a few moments where it was like...
That we didn't see.
Oh, that you didn't see.
Because we watched the show with you.
We took notes.
We wrote it down, took a picture, but for that we didn't see, possibly.
I mean, there were scenes that they did show that they cut some of the pieces that were really pivotal points in the show. For example, that vocal lesson that I had with Nick Cooper, I mean, you saw 5 minutes of it. That was like 2 hours of us like just grinding it out. So there were a lot of things that got cut, obviously, from the scenes that you did see that were extended versions that you'll never see. But I mean, those were heavy times for me. I went through some real stuff through that.
I always found in the studio with Rock Mafia, with Cher and Tim, I mean, not Cher, Antonina and Tim, that that was probably one of the only parts of the show that I really didn't feel flowed at all, because their personalities, like, I don't know them, but from watching them on TV, their personalities really didn't seem to gel with anybody. That they were just very cold and just, okay, here's your song, you're going to sing it. How did you guys feel about having that pushed on you creatively, saying, okay, you're going to sing this song? And was that kind of frustrating, that you can connect with some of the songs?
I mean, it can be. It can be frustrating. Depends.
You weren't with Tim.
I wasn't with Tim.
But with any of the people you were working with?
Well, I mean, it could have... It's risky. When you're handed a song, you don't know if it's going to be good or not. You don't know if somebody pushes a song on you, it could be horrible. You could hate it. You could not relate to it. Fortunately, I enjoyed the song that I played, and they didn't talk about it much in the show, but my song was actually written by Keith Urban.
Cool.
And Keith Urban's awesome. The man. So
American Idol judge now.
Your song was great, though. It felt right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So when I heard the song, the demo that was sent to me was actually Keith Urban singing it. And so I was like, well, this is cool. Jackpot, like I'll gladly sing this one. So I feel like I lucked out, but yeah, that's a scary thing, especially Vaughn and I both are songwriters, so you don't know what you're gonna get.
So you doing country music, I mean, have you done any country covers before, or was this something brand new? You're like, this is not my style. But I mean, with your style, you can definitely make a small transition into country music, which you did. Are you thinking about doing more country stuff, or are you going to, do you have your own?
I don't know.
Sound?
There was another scene that got cut. But during my time with Brad Paisley, he was asking me, like, do you want to do country music? Is this you? And I told him, I don't want to pinpoint as a single genre. Right. Of being
hey,
country.
John Mayer's doing everything now.
Yeah, exactly.
But is he born successful and raised, at it though?
That's not a pop record.
At all. And, you know,
he's playing guitar for, Ocean, Frank Ocean.
I know, but
anyway.
The point is that you're versatile and that you don't want to be pigeonholed.
I think that it's more about just being yourself, and I'm going to play my acoustic guitar and tell my stories with, you know, just the songs that I sing. So I don't know if it's necessarily country or pop or what it is, but I'm just going to keep singing my songs, and whatever they sound like, that's how they sound.
Yeah, we'll hear a little bit of that later, too. We'll have Tanner Patrick up here singing some songs, or a song.
And Vaughn, you're going to give some acapella? But no, you can't sing. Sorry, he said do not ask.
Actually, we might do something together.
I'm fired.
Might do a little duet or something.
Maybe we'll jam something together.
Vaughn's writer was like, do not ask me to sing. I will walk out. Did you guys ever have a moment, you know, as from the time you were growing up, you always knew you wanted to perform. You loved, I mean, and as performers, we like being in front of the limelight, however we're performing, be it hosting, singing, rapping, underwater basket weaving. Did you guys have a moment when you were on the show that you felt like you kind of finally made it a little bit? You got closer to where you were trying to go, like, yes, I'm here. I've worked so hard for this up to this point, and I've reached this milestone.
Might have been the camera in their face.
And was it, again, that good point, was it off camera or on camera you had that moment?
You go first.
Okay. I think it was, you know, during the boot camp week, I, you know, I'd call home or call a friend and tell them, like, all this stuff is happening. And I think I was actually calling up some of my old bandmates and telling them about what's happening. And they were like, wow, you know, we're so happy for you. And I think as I was retelling the stories each day of what I was shooting, it was kind of, it seemed pretty real. And then, of course, opening for Brad, you know, that's, you're there in the moment. It's like you're standing in front of 20,000 people, and it's like, whoa. This is cool. I feel very comfortable, and I feel like I'm in my element right now.
You actually had a moment right before you went on.
I did have a moment.
You had that moment. We were very worried for you, by the way. I mean, maybe it was a maternal thing, but I was like, what's going to happen to his lungs? I don't know.
Totally. She was like, don't let him have another collapsed lung. Please. We're like, Jen, calm down.
How common is that, though, for you to have an episode like that?
Well, the lung thing, that shouldn't happen again on this side. So we're good. The thing is, my body type. They said it's spontaneous pneumothorax. So it's just a random collapse of the lung because I'm tall, skinny, and I don't know. It just happens. But that I had surgery on because it happened twice. So I had surgery the second time. This one, I have a 20% chance of it collapsing still. And I thought it actually was before the show, which that wasn't even filmed. But I mean, that stuff happens. It's just life and you keep going.
So you got a bionic lung? You gave you
yeah,
bionic
actually,
lung?
I had surgery on this one and they have like a, it's like an acid lining around it that turn into like
dude,
a hardened,
you're like Wolverine.
Yeah, I've got like a hard lung now.
Hard lung. I got the hard lung.
But that's you're doing good right now, right?
First, first album?
Yeah, I'm good now.
Yeah, that should be the title of your album, Hard Lung, Tanner Patrick. metal lung.
And then it's folk music.
Yeah, and the crazy part is also my brother, he had two collapsed lungs as well, which they didn't talk about that, but it's just something in the family,
wow.
I guess.
Wow.
Strange.
Yeah. So now, Vaughn, your experience, first time you realize, whoa, this is happening.
I'm a superstar.
Well, okay, first of all, you know, going back to saying how I was homeschooled, the majority of my time, I lived in my bedroom was in the basement, and it was like a full-size basement, and so that basement was like an arena for me, up until from like age 13 to 18, every day, about 5-6 hours a day, I was screaming down there, and like family upstairs would be stomping, like, are you done? It's dinner time, shut up. And I was doing that every day, and so like, and actually when I was 17, I won this contest in Kansas City where I got to open for this big touring country act of a time. They're called Trick Pony. I don't know where they are now, but I opened for them, and that was such a dream for me. I sang 3 songs, and afterwards I cried for about 2 hours straight just because I just had lived that for the first time. But then that was before I had really dealt with the health problem. So it was funny coming into this situation and getting to do that again, but doing it on such a grand scale for Lady Gaga. Oh my God, it was insane. So actually, they didn't show this clip, which it's actually, you know, they gave all of us the little flip cameras so that, you know, we could, you know, use them all the time to like video everything. And Olivia videoed me right before I walked out. And it's a cool shot of me walk from behind walking out. And that moment for me, I think, was the moment. And when I walked out and the first 4 lines of Halo, I totally about started to just ugly cry.
Ugly cry.
Ugly cry. Ugly cry is the best.
Wow.
And I think they, because they also, they film sound check, so they have optional other shots in case something messes up, and I think they may have...
You phoning a friend? What are you doing?
I think they may have used it...
That's not you. God?
God?
The engineer.
E.T.?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, do we have a caller?
We have a caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
This? Hello.
Hi. You just called into the E! Opening Act After Buzz TV show on After Buzz TV. Who are we speaking with?
This is Jonathan from Gotham City.
Jonathan from Gotham City.
Hey,
join the party.
On the phone, Jonathan from Gotham City, another E! Opening Act, super talented group. Jonathan, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, man. How you guys doing?
Doing great. In studio, you also have your fellow talented brothers, Vaughn Smith and Tanner Patrick, sitting on the AfterBuzz couch. We're gabbing about the show, man. Gotham City, it was another great breakout act this season on the opening act. R&B at its finest. You guys definitely took it there. Handle business. We're huge fans here. And we're just talking about some of the experiences that you guys had on the show with Nick Cooper and just the whole journey that you guys went on. So jump in. What's new? What's going on with Gotham City?
We've been, like, you know, just working nonstop. Like, after the show, you know, we figured that we have to have, you know, more material and, you know, we have to just have something for the fans. So it's been, you know, pretty much studio work and working on getting some shows.
Yeah, and so the group, we got to see you guys perform live at the Universal City Walk E-Opening Act concert, which was stellar. You blew us away. Yes. That vocal power is just magnificent. The group is still together. You guys are still doing well?
Yes, yeah. That was a phenomenal show too, by the way.
For sure, it was definitely a phenomenal show. Tell us, what were some of the, I guess, not memorable, but some of the powerful moments from E-Opening Act this season from your guys' episode that we didn't get to see on the air?
A lot of the powerful moments, like, we had a lot of, you know, conversations that were off, you know, film with, you know, Nick. And he was definitely, you know, one of the, you know, major inspirations for us for the show. Because I don't know if you've seen on the episode at first, he was talking about, you know, we didn't blend well and we need to work on that. He really helped us, you know, be able to connect to each other more than we were doing in the past.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, just major for us.
One of the things that was really cool seeing was that, you know, some of you guys have kids, and you guys come from New York City, and just in spite of everything that you guys have gone through, and then some of the things you guys were saying that were really powerful about just losing friends and just the hardships you guys have, you guys still were able to come together as a cohesive group and really knock it out of the ballpark. Where does Gotham City's work ethic come from? How do you guys derive that?
I mean, that work ethic, it just comes from, you know, being in an environment that we're from, you know, growing up in the projects and being in, you know, situations you don't want to be in, and looking at that and being like, I don't want to stay there. Like, I want to be, you know, successful and get out of that. So, like, just having that in mind, like, all four of us, it causes us to work hard, you know, towards those goals.
Yeah.
And so now being on this show, Opening Act, was this more of, like, a validation? You guys are doing what you need to be doing?
Oh, yeah. Like, being on the show, it gave us a taste of, like, you know, what life would be like once we, like, make it. So, you know, after the show, we was like, yeah, we ain't going back to, as Cliff said, yeah, we ain't going back to Brownsville. We ain't going back to the project. So, you know, we're going to work so that we get this, you know, on a day-to-day, like, everyday life. You know, that's how it's going
to
be.
And we were just talking to Tanner and Vaughn about song choice, you know, a song being given to you. And you guys had a song that they brought to you that you didn't like and chose to do your own song. And so have you guys been doing a lot of writing lately? Are you guys back in New York all working and writing together?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we've always, you know, written our own material. And there's a few people who've written, you know, songs for us. But, you know, we feel like just being, as an artist, like, when you're creative and you create your own material, like, you can bring it across better, like, with that emotion. Or if you get a song from somebody, if you feel that, then, you know, that emotion will be brought across, too.
One of the moments that I loved from E-Opening Act, I'm sorry, I have E-Opening Act diarrhea today, but it's the show we're talking about, was when you guys had to make the decision to tell Nigel that, no, you're not singing the song that they have for you guys, and a day before you're supposed to go on and do your own material. From what we saw on TV, that it seemed like it was a hard decision to make, but ultimately, what was it really like making that decision? Did you guys lose sleep over it? Were you scared that it might jeopardize your position on the show? I mean, because you basically had to tell the head guy in charge that, we're not singing your song. You know,
like, that's a cute song, but no thanks.
You're like, no thanks, sorry about it. Like, was that it?
Yo.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, like, yeah, we were definitely scared. Like, we didn't want to say, you know, we're not doing that song, and then, you know, then not do the whole show at all. You know, it was definitely nerve-wracking. We had a lot of conversations about it, and we just figured, like, let's just, you know, ask, because the only answer you get is a yes or no.
Right.
And you guys obviously handled it well. Going back to what Jason was saying, you were obviously raised well, regardless of where you're from. You have great attitude and you have great drive, and that's why I think you guys are going to be successful.
Yeah, Gotham City. And one thing I liked about you guys as a group is that, of course, you know, from the 90s till now, there's all these black hip-hop male R&B groups. I mean, that's just what you expect from R&B that sound the same. Everyone tries to be a Jodeci, tries to be, you know, Drew Hill or somebody. But you guys, believe it or not, had a different sound. And again, I'm a connoisseur of hip-hop and R&B, thank you very much. And I have, you know, R. Kelly, and I was just so engaged and enthralled by how different you guys sounded, and it's just, and the quality of your voices, and as well as the quality of your performance. I mean, that you can't really teach that to people. I mean, that's innate organic talent that Gotham City definitely brought to the show, so thank you for that. You guys are in my book cream of the crop, and we look forward to hearing more from you guys. Do you guys have an album coming out, singles, more music, YouTube? Where can I get more Gotham City in my life?
All right, so we have one single that's out. It's called Bedroom Floor. It's been out for a while on iTunes, and right now we're in the process of working on that next single that we want to put out. You know, we've been recording tons of records, but we want it to be, you know, right. We have a YouTube channel. It's Gotham City. Twitter is Gotham City, T-I-T-I. That's all the links that we have, and I mean, you'll be hearing something really soon from us because we're working hard on it.
I have a question for all of our stars in the studio. Does Opening Act and E help you out at all after you're off the show? Like, what they send you back out into the world, and like, is there some kind of like, oh, we'll introduce you to managers, or we'll help you in the studio, any kind of support after your show's done?
I think, they leave it up to you. I think it's kind of who you choose to build relationships with and how you choose to handle everything. And I think, you know, me and Tanner, you know, we probably build relationships with different people, but I actually am having meetings next week with some people, but I think it depends on you and how much you want to, how much you want to work the business, play the game, get what you want out of it.
Right.
It's not like a thing like on Idol or something where they guarantee you anything or management or anything like that.
And that's what's cool. I think that's what the true test of your talent and your ethics is going to come into play, is if you can parlay this as a platform to get you to the next level. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you said so many LA jargons right now, play the game, choosing, networking, and that's what it's about. I mean, you can be the most talented person in the world, but if no one's seeing you and you don't have the right people putting you out there, your talent, whatever, you'll just be singing in your basement.
Going back to obscurity.
Going back to obscurity.
So since the show, have you guys have you been able to work with any producers, let's say, get in the studio, record with people besides your fellow opening act stars?
Let's see if I can keep this brief. I actually have worked in the studio with big people. Before I was even on American Idol, I had a record deal with Akon, and I recorded a whole album with Akon.
Wow.
And it didn't get released.
Convict Music.
Akon.
And so I know what that's like. And that's another thing, like you guys talking about me in the studio on the show, like, is it one of his first time in the studio? It was not my first time in the studio. They portrayed all that, whatever. But right now I'm kind of in a mode where I really want to do it independently, and like, I don't even know what it is. I'm just letting it be and making it happen.
It's organic, right?
Yeah. Being completely organic, because I've tried to define it so much in the past, and it's stifled me and stopped me. So right now, as far as producers go, actually I have a band, and in 3 weeks we're gonna go in and record a bunch of my songs and see what the vision will be. So
yeah, that's the beauty about the music business now. It's changed so drastically in the last 5-10 years, so that you can do it on your own, mm-hmm. with YouTube and the social networking. So you can make it your way, and that's what's most important, I think.
And Tanner, have you been working with anyone?
Well, I've been in bands since I was very young. I mean, I've been playing in bands and working toward this since I was probably 12 years old. So that's been a lot of meeting other bands and friends of bands and getting introduced to producers. And so around the age of 17, 18, I started to meet a lot of producer friends. And so that's when, I've been kind of meeting a lot of producers over the last 4 years or so. I mean, as far as new people, obviously I met Daryl on the show in Capitol, which I'd never been a part of that. That's a huge studio. That's like a whole nother beast. I definitely have some good producer friends, and we're going to do some work together, do some damage, hopefully.
Cool. Jonathan, nice. And Jonathan?
Yeah, Jonathan and Lyon, how about you? Did you, the relationships that you built, did you work with some people from the show or producers that you met outside?
Well, there's a few producers that we've known outside who, they've seen the show, and so, like, you know, it was a great hit, and, you know, that they can possibly help us out with more music. So people have been reaching out to us and, you know, setting up sessions. So that's always a great honor to, you know, have people, like, in your corner working for you, you know.
That's cool.
So the ball is rolling right now for every one of you guys, pretty much.
That ball's going down the hill.
That's good.
Awesome.
We love to hear it.
That's what we're talking about. Well, we always say that you guys are definitely deserving, and just meeting and talking to you guys live and getting to know you, it just makes everything so much real and brings so much to fruition for us, because, again, we're like the viewers at home. We're just watching a TV show, and it's reality TV, so we're always skeptical.
We also make up words.
Yeah. We're always skeptical of what's real and what's not, and getting to talk to you guys and be in the same space with you and over the phone and seeing you guys live performing in person is just really hit home that this show is really legit. Hashtag Gabby Lorenz word legit. It's legitimate. It's legit, legitimate show with true talent. And you know what else is legit? Tuesday nights on Fox Comedy.
Yes. Woo. We have a new fall premiere lineup on Fox.
Yes.
So if you guys are fans of Zooey Deschanel, she is back with a new season of The New Girl. And we also have Ben and Kate, another comedy. And then we're going to do another episode of The New Girl following that one on Tuesday night. And then if you liked The Office, well, then you probably will love The Mindy Project, because that is following. And it is a comedy again. Very funny. You guys should all check it out. And you'll have a lot of laughs for Tuesday night fall lineup on Fox.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for calling in today. You surprised us on the phone, but it's a good surprise. We're glad to hear from you. We're glad Gotham City is... We were like, oh, great, that'll be a point caller. Like, this is Domino's Pizza. But thank you for talking with us. We're excited to see...
Hey,
what's going on with Gotham City. We're definitely going to be following you guys on Twitter, supporting you guys, making sure that everyone knows what's up and is in the know with the, our boys from NYC.
NYC in the building, Brooklyn, you already know.
Brooklyn, BK.
Long Island in the building, hey.
The Valley okay, in the mean, building.
You can say Long Island, I guess, you know, Staten Island.
Staten Island.
Different. So funny.
Awesome, Jonathan. Thank you again. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. And
of course.
You know, just Tanner and Vaughn, you know, love you guys and keep it up too.
Aww.
Love you, dude.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Best
to you,
of
man.
Luck.
Oh, I love all this love. I know. I can't.
All right. So, Vaughn and Tanner in the studio live today. And I know, Vaughn, okay, first of all, Vaughn, you're blowing my mind today because you're just giving me like all this, like, not diva attitude, but you're like, listen, it's not my first time in the studio. I mean, you know.
No, you know, that's good to know because we want to know the truth. Yeah. And you guys, it's so weird. I was thinking about it while everyone was talking just now. Everyone seems so polished from being plucked from YouTube.
Absolutely.
You know, no one had any idea that you guys would, you know, be so professional when they picked your video. You could have just had a great video. Somebody could have been there directing you or you lucked out. I don't know. But to meet you guys and hear you guys talk, you're real artists. You know, you're already on your way. You're doing your interviews. You're performing live. This is great for you guys. You know, and we just wish you the best.
Well, thank you so much.
So I want to hear some live acapella in studio. I feel like since I got up at 8 o'clock this morning to be here to interview you superstars, can you grace us with some, you know, tidbits of your talent, you know, for our after buzzers?
Do you guys want, are you guys going to do a song together or are you just going to perform? What are you guys thinking?
I thought we were going to take a break before I do this.
Then we can do a little something together.
Yeah, we'll do something together.
Right. Yeah. When we come back, we have an exclusive after buzz exclusive performance with Vaughn Smith, Tanner Patrick. Don't want to miss it. Got a commercial break. We'll be back in a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
No more daughters.
I just have a second verse of
you. And we're back.
And yeah. Wait, am I on? There we go.
You are on.
AfterBuzz, we're back in studio. The E! Opening Act After Show exclusive special show featuring the stars of Opening Act, Vaughn Smith, Tanner Patrick in studio. And now we have an AfterBuzz exclusive, new material, a cappella in the studio, Vaughn Smith and Tanner Patrick, everybody. Acoustic, my bad.
Well, we were just
talking and
hanging out in the kitchen, and rather than doing a new song, rather than doing a new song or something, we've never sang together before, so we're like, what do you know? So we both listened to John Mayer, apparently.
Love John.
What?
Huge John Mayer.
And we were talking about him before.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do like
a piece of something.
Daughters.
Yeah, let's do some Daughters. I don't know, why not, you know?
Hold on.
It's a very pretty song.
I don't know the second
I love this song.
So fathers, be good to
your daughters. Daughters will live like you do. And girls become lovers, return into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters too. Same she's been standing in since the day she saw him walking away. Now she's left cleaning up the mess he made. So fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will live like you do. Mothers, so daughters, be good to your daughters too. Mothers, be good to your daughters too.
Nice. Yeah. All right, I love that.
Yeah, guys.
Why giving that soul and that acoustic guitar? I'm so talking that epic.
How much more? So how good. Much time do we have? I want to do something else.
You know what? Go.
For yeah, why don't we? Go we'll do it. One for you and one for
we
you.
We got thumbs up, you guys.
Yeah,
up.
We have time.
Sing it away.
You want to? Do you mind throwing me that water over there?
Yeah, little, this one.
A little parched.
I'm a little dry. I'm parched. Overcoming some, yes, some no, yeah. stuff.
Some phlegm.
The Bronx. The Bronx.
Also, try to get closer to the mic, please. Yes, Vaughn, you did them grace notes. Like, love that.
Vaughn, we loved your that's revolving hot. Door songs last night. Yeah. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Really good.
That's the one you remember the most?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I loved all of them, but that was my favorite.
We walked in during Halo, and then and with the choir, too. That was amazing. They had a choir facing them. You saw the picture I posted, right?
Yes, that was awesome. When did you leave, though?
Oh, we've stayed the whole time.
Yeah,
we got there during Halo. Was it Halo first, or was that?
Halo was first.
Oh, yes.
And we saw Tanner right in the front. Support.
I was chilling, watching. Yeah, it was good stuff. You want to sing this one? Do you want to take it away on the...
I'm a huge John Mayer fan. You guys have been John Mayer all day.
I might look at you for words, though.
I am driving 85 in kind of morning. Last all afternoon, yeah.
Yes.
Just stuck inside the gloom. Four more exits to my apartment, but I am tempted to keep the car and drive and leave it all behind. Times about the outcome of a still verdict looks like. Am I living it right? Am I living it right? Am I living it right? Why, George?
Good stuff. Yeah, you guys need John Mayer all day, every day.
That's great.
Can I have one more request? Since we're doing John Mayer,
can we take any requests?
Do you guys know City Love from John Mayer?
We were talking about that earlier.
It's like, one of the best John Mayer songs
so
ever.
Good.
Ever.
I don't remember it enough. I remember just like a little
Friday evening.
Yes.
Drinking.
Tanner, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song in the
sing.
World,
yeah.
In general,
yeah.
To sing.
He's all Carly Rae Jepsen. Call me.
I don't know. I like singing a lot of songs. and it's tough right now because I'm overcoming some bronchitis.
Oh right, yeah.
So something hit me last week.
But you still sound good, so it's okay.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you. I lost anything above this note, so it's like. but you know, I don't know.
Yeah, pumped up. We did. A while back when you did the Pumped Up Kicks version on YouTube, I remember seeing that when I was just checking out different covers. And then when I saw you in the show, I'm like, man, he looks familiar. And then I saw that. And that song didn't get cleared, right, for the actual show?
Yeah, that song was not cleared. So, and I was supposed to play Pumped Up Kicks at the Brad
Paisley show. But, you know, stuff happens.
quick question about, I mean, off the record. Is that about him shooting somebody? Is the song about publicly
shooting
somebody?
I don't think it's about him shooting somebody, but I have heard different... I mean, I haven't obviously heard Mark Foster's...
take on it?
Yeah, exactly. But speculation is that it was about Columbine or some kind of shooting, obviously. It's definitely about a shooting.
Yeah, if you listen to the words.
Right, run from my gun.
The actual words, yeah, verses, because you can't really tell what he's singing on the radio version, but all of the acoustic versions, you can actually hear the words like, what?
Yeah, I stopped and listened to it. I was like, wait a minute, this is about someone pumping up the Reebok shocks and getting shots and running from being shot. I was like,
no, it's a very dark song.
Yeah,
and that's why.
I'm so happy.
You know, I posted this, the cover, and a lot of people were like, why is he smiling? The song's about killing people. And it's like, well, you know, I'm enjoying the song, and a lot of people thought it was kind of eerie that I was smiling, and they were like, they didn't know how to feel about it, but it's definitely a dark song.
Yeah,
it's
okay, I thought I was just me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vaughn, what are some of the songs that you like to sing besides Halo? I know you kind of are a Beyonce fan, yeah? Or just
I love her. Respect her. She's like she's amazing. I don't own any of your albums or anything like that. Surprisingly enough, when I was living in Kansas City 2.5 years ago, I was vocal coaching kids, mm-hmm. and this girl brought the song Halo to me, mm-hmm. and I learned the songs that I'm helping the kids with. So I learned the song, and I just happened to. My mom teaches piano, so I ended up sitting at the piano trying to learn how to play it, and I ended up getting bored and playing weird jazz chords. Then that video happened that you all saw. So that's how I feel. It's not, I love Beyonce.
So can you grace us with one of your favorite songs, a snippet of one of your favorite songs? A song that is so near and dear to your heart.
Really? Well, my favorite song of all time is actually I like old stuff. It's a song by Nat King Cole called Nature Boy.
Okay.
Have you ever heard
of
that?
Not unforgettable. Just kidding.
No, but we're going to hear it now because you're going to...
I've sung that many times at weddings, but no. I'm so croaky. I'm like,
No excuses. Go hard or go
home. That's how I sound on a good day.
Okay. I just listen light and quiet. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved. In return.
You better work, Bob.
Nice.
early. That's all I can give you this morning.
Well, I have a question too. Like, if somebody with like range, ridiculous range, like you do in your live performance after seeing it last night. What, like, to what extent does your preparation go to? Are you on vocal rest all day before a performance? Or?
It's funny. People say that because, since I sing so high and crazy, it's actually, if I don't think about it, don't worry about it, it's better. But I actually had vocal surgery a year ago because I was singing at weddings when I first moved to LA and I was trying to, you know, survive. And I was sick. And I sang way too hard when I shouldn't have, and I was sick. And I remember telling the band, like, please don't make me sing Journey today. And they made me sing Journey that day. And I just had to go ahead and do it. And the next day, like, I was totally screwed. And so I had surgery. And since then, I've totally, like, completely, it changed my life. Like, and I feel like doing this TV show kind of was the pinnacle of that, of, like, finally, I don't take any crap from anybody. And I kind of do what, I just know it works. And if I stress about my voice, then I will have problems.
Right.
But if I don't stress about it, I'll get up and it's all there, you know, I don't worry about it. So.
And Tanner, for you, we'd love to hear another song.
Oh, sure.
From you. Yeah. Now that we're going to push you with your bronchitis and all.
Yeah, sorry. As long as you're up for it, we are.
No, it's cool. I mean, I could,
I can figure something out. I could do something. I'll do a little something for you. I'm actually going to do a song that you may or may not know. But it's one that I enjoy a lot. I relate to the words very well. It's one of those songs where I had heard this song. It's called The Only Song. It's by a band called Sherwood, if anyone knows it. But I used to listen to this song all the time and didn't necessarily relate directly to it. But then I started thinking about the words, and it made so much sense with my band leaving and all the things that I was going through. So it just recently became more relevant to me. So it's called The Only Song. I'll go ahead and attempt to give it a go. La la la. Here we go. Seems I just needed a break. Sat down, but now I'm up again. And finding out I'm all alone, my friends left me behind. Into another town where this boy is not around. I wouldn't blame them, I'd do the same. And now I'm alone again. So I'll sing along to the only song I've ever known. I'm singing it out to the lonely ones. And those days are gone, but the nights roll on. And I'm singing it out to the lonely ones.
Nice.
Short version.
Thank you. Both amazing. Thank you so much.
To hell. It's very out of tune.
Sounds good.
So,
sounds good.
I like that song a lot.
You worked it out.
Good song. Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for stopping by today. It's
thank
been such a pleasure hearing your talent, chatting with you, getting the inside scoop on what really goes on the E! Opening Act After Show. And we look forward to seeing more from you guys. And you know, the future is yours. Palm your hand. Carpe diem. Yeah. Take no prisoners.
Speaking of the future, what is in the future for you guys? Aside from the studio, we've talked about that.
They're
you know,
In-N-Out Burger.
Hungry.
Well, when I leave here today, I'm going to watch some TV.
Well, I'm still doing a lot of YouTube. So, I mean, that's you know, that's what I've been doing for the last year before Opening Act contacted me, and that's what I'm still you know doing now. So, a lot of YouTube, getting content up more frequently, and I'm also starting to book a lot of international festivals. I've got Singapore booked, so I'm doing a lot of stuff in 2013, talking about doing some stuff in Brazil, and so going out and doing some more festival shows and getting an album out, hopefully, because you know when you're doing a lot of covers, you start to feel a little misunderstood as a songwriter. So,
right.
I definitely feel that, and I put myself a songwriter before a singer, so I've got a lot of stories to tell.
Nice.
So.
And I am just excited to, like I said, I've recorded with people in the past, and that was a big part of a TV show, you know, a problem I've had, is collaborating is great, but I'm a pleaser, and it's difficult for me to work with certain people, because, you know, I end up conforming too much, or sacrificing too much of myself. So all the stuff I'm doing is all completely mine. And so I'm excited to, in 3 weeks, to actually record my EP, and it's all mine.
Nice.
I take responsibility for it, and if people don't like it, that's fine, because it's mine. besides that, I'm just traveling so much, and, you know, every weekend I'm in a different place doing, actually, symphony shows, which is something completely different. I've got a lot of things going on, but a lot of good meetings next week. We'll see where it goes.
And guys, where can we find you? I know you have a show here in Hollywood, right, Vaughn?
Every Tuesday at Rockwell. It's a free show. And it's going to move next month to every Friday night, like at late, like 10 o'clock. But it's a residency thing where I have my band and a choir, which is fun. And it's free. And, you know, we had a good crowd last night, a couple hundred people. So
yeah, it was sick.
If you're in LA, come and check that out.
And if you guys want to download the E! Opening Act songs from the show and more from the artists, go to iTunes.
And the episodes.
And the episode. You can also get them on eonline.com. And it's there. For you, way to own your artistic integrity, you two, way to rein it in and do what makes you right. Like you said, you're being a people pleaser. Sometimes you give too much of yourself away, and way to take control and make it your own, Vaughn Smith. Excited for all that. Excited for you too, Tanner Patrick. Again, thank you guys for stopping by. And that's all for the E! Opening Act After Show for this season. Until next season, I'm your host, Jason J. Carter. You can find me online at JJC Forever and on Facebook.
And you can find me at Jen the Jew.
You guys can go too.
Where can we find you?
YouTube.com/TannerPatrick, Facebook.com/TheTannerPatrick, or Twitter.com/TannerPatrick.
My Twitter is just Vaughn Smith, V-O-N Smith, and my YouTube is YouTube.com/Vonatron, V-O-N-A-T-R-O-N. I'm Vonatron.
Ladies first.
Thank you. I am at Gabrielle_Loren, and my Facebook is Gabrielle Loren with the number one.
All right, find me on all that stuff too, Mark E. Allen, A-L-A-N, and find us AfterBuzzTV.com.
See you guys next season.
Later.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.